Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Wednesday, November 11th, 2015. Here are our top stories.
Tonight,
Rand Paul is having a great night tonight.
Rand Paul goes on the offensive and has his strongest performance yet at the GOP debate.
The first thing I would do is I wouldn't arm our enemies. I wouldn't arm ISIS. That was the dumbest, most foolhardy notion, and most of the people up here supported it.
Meanwhile, Jeb Bush panders to illegal immigrants. Then, a look inside the home of Ben Carson, a shrine to himself. Plus, an Army veteran faces felony charges for helping other veterans treat PTSD with cannabis. All that, plus a salute to our veterans who are fighting enemies both foreign and domestic.
Now you need to get back here, get motivated, and get in the InfoWar and do what you can to help us.
That's up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new groundbreaking gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Well, last night was the fourth GOP debate. We covered it live here with commentary on the nightly news last night. Later in the show, we'll have some highlights from that debate. NPR looked at what they talked about. And as we looked at the debate last night, I thought it was very dry with a few exceptions. We're going to talk about those exceptional parts. And it was very repetitious, talking a lot about tax policy. Everybody telling us what the rates were going to be, what the brackets were going to be, and their fantasy tax world that they're planning on creating. Here are the issues, according to NPR, according to Time. They talked about taxes, deficit, the budget, the debt, about 26 minutes. They spent 18 minutes on foreign policy, pushing war. And we're going to talk about what they said on this Veterans Day. They also talked for 14 minutes about bank bailouts. And then they talked about just under 10 minutes on politics and bios in terms of Clinton and Carson, what was revealed about that. I think it was interesting before we get into the main content of the big debate that had the eight candidates. They had a JV debate. They had moved Chris Christie down to that. And I thought he had a very interesting, very revealing comment about where he is and where this country is in the JV debate. Now, touching on Veterans Day, he had this to say. Chris Christie said, when Hillary Clinton says there's not a scandal at the VA, it sends a hard message to veterans that she doesn't get it, and she doesn't respect their service. Then he continued and said, and when the president of the United States doesn't back up law enforcement officers in uniform, he loses the moral authority to lead any man or woman who wears the uniform. Do you understand that? Now, I agree with what he says about the VA scandal. Certainly, the way the vets are treated is scandalous. And we're going to talk about that in the next segment. But when he talks about law enforcement as being the military, understand, that's the way he was doing. He juxtaposed those two things together, and he talked about law enforcement as being all under the president. No, it's the military that's under the president. And we need to understand that because we have tolerated a standing military in violation of the intent and the letter of the Constitution, now these people like Chris Christie view law enforcement as a standing military under the command of the president. And that's a reality, isn't it? Nobody else seems to have noticed this or cared, but it concerns me a great deal when he talks about the president being the leader of law enforcement. We need to understand This is what they want. They want federalized control of law enforcement. They want the law, they want law enforcement to be militarized. And all of these shootings, all this violence that is new to law enforcement in the last few years is being pushed by a federalization, a militarization of the police. And of course, people like Chris Christie are just fine with it. Now, many people believe, libertarians, conservatives, even liberals believe that Rand Paul won the debate last night. When you look at the online polls, Trump will finish at the top of virtually every poll, but of course he is very high in the general polls. People will support someone that they will say they won the debate if they support them. But Rand Paul, who's polling at about 3%, finishes very high in most of the polls. Of course, the Wall Street Journal went to look at an online poll run by Google to show that Rubio did really well. They wanted to push that. But even in the online polls like the Drudge Report, which is huge, Rand Paul came in a very strong third. Now, if we look at this article from The Week, they pointed out that it was Rand Paul who made the most persuasive case that he could win over voters who aren't committed conservative Republicans. They say he spent the first half of the debate trying to get voters to care about the Federal Reserve, about interest rates, but he started to make his mark when he jumped in to accuse Rubio of being insufficiently conservative. He started out with a questionable popular assertion that families shouldn't get tax credits to pay for child care, but turned that into a more winning argument that the U.S. spends too much on the military, more than 10 times all the countries below that on the list. And understand that those countries are countries like Russia and China and Germany and the UK and all these different countries. If you total up what they spend on defense spending, that is combined less than what we spend on defense spending. But of course, Rubio says that we have to rebuild the military. Rebuild it from what? It isn't collapsing. And then they go on to say, though, that his big moment was on foreign policy. Republicans are fond of arguing that Obama's weak on national defense. He's created a mess in the Middle East. But Paul said his GOP colleagues are as hawkish as Hillary Clinton or vice versa. That's not a new argument for Paul, but he followed it up with the potential consequences of a proposed no-fly zone that was popular on the debate stage. He said, Russia flies in that zone at the invitation of Iraq. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but you better know what you're getting into at least. So when you think it's going to be a good idea to have a no-fly zone over Iraq, realize that that means we are going to shoot down Russian planes. But as Rand Paul pointed out the folly of directly militarily confronting the Russians and shooting down their planes, the rest of the GOP, literally the rest of all the rest of the candidates on stage, as well as most of the audiences, reacted like this.
Can't you stick to the point, General?
Well, sir, if the pilot's good, see, I mean, if he's really sharp, he can barrel that baby in solo. I mean, you ought to see it sometime. It's a sight. A big plane, like a 52, room. This jet exhaust, frying chickens in the barnyard.
Yeah, but has he got a chance?
Has he got a chance? Yeah, well, yeah,
I guess I would call that debate last night the GOP strange love debate, or how I learned to stop worrying and love bombing Syria and confronting Russia. Look at what the presidential candidates say about the no-fly zone in Syria. The New York Times broke this down with some interesting graphics. Look at this top graphic here. You can see all the candidates who support a no-fly zone. And if you can't read all those faces, it's an overwhelming majority. And it is everybody in the Republican Party except for Rand Paul. The only candidates running from both parties combined that oppose it are O'Malley, Paul, and Sanders. It is absolutely insane what these guys are proposing. And Rand Paul is absolutely right that in order to enforce this, you are going to have to shoot down Russian planes who have been invited into Syria. That's what they are telling us. It is absolute insanity. But of course, Marco Rubio and the rest of them will do whatever it takes to pander to the military-industrial complex. And that's what we need to remember on this Veterans Day. We need to understand how we get into one war after the other. Are 7 wars not enough? Evidently not for the GOP candidates. That's the number of wars that Obama's gotten us into without having a declaration of war, ignoring the Constitution, ignoring the wishes of the American people. It impoverishes us as a country, economically, but it also impoverishes us with the loss of life, the people who die fighting these wars, and we don't stop it. We let them continue on with us. Listen to what else Rand Paul had to say. They say Rand Paul went on the offensive. This is the Huffington Post. reshaped the debate and had his strongest performance yet. They go on to say, when Trump filled his remarks on the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal with China bashing, Paul saw a clear opening. He said, hey, Gerard, you know, we might want to point out that China is not part of the deal, he told the debate moderator. And the moderators can see the point, and the crowd chuckled. And as Huffington Post said, for once, Trump was the butt of the joke. Well, actually, I think Trump had a good point. And as I mentioned yesterday, I thought it was a stroke of genius, even if he didn't come back and retort to that. That is the way the TPP is being sold to us, as a counterbalance to China. And what Trump did in the debate, but even more so yesterday when he released his policy statement, he didn't release a policy statement on the TPP. What he talked about was the fundamental, the big elephant in the room, if you will, China. That's what's happening with trade. So I think we need to understand that, but we also need to directly address the TPP. We only have Trump addressing it as a deal that wasn't negotiated very well by Obama. Yeah, that's one very, very tiny aspect of it. I'll take it if he wants to oppose it, even if he doesn't have the big picture that he's presenting to people. I would have liked to have seen Rand Paul push the big picture and tell people what's really going on here, but nobody talked about the TPP last night. Nobody. This was an economic debate. Nobody had anything to say about something that is going to fundamentally transform our economy economically and create a global union, just as they're destroying the European Union, just as they're destroying America with the open borders. These will also be tools of destruction, but they will be tools of construction as well. Both these trade treaties as well as the climate treaty that they're pushing in Paris. But let's look at what Obama is telling people. He says, read the TPP deal for yourself. That's what he said yesterday. Obama, Tuesday morning, asked people to make their own judgment about the Trans-Pacific Partnership by reading it themselves online. However, Jeff Sessions, senator from Alabama, tweeted out a picture showing just how hard it would be for the average person to read this deal. He showed a tweet of, he tweeted out a pile of papers in this picture, 3 feet high on his desk. And of course, as we pointed out before many times, this is three times the length of the entire Bible. And it is four times the combined works of William Shakespeare, four times the magnum opus of J.R.R. Tolkien, the entire trilogy of The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. So this is not something you're going to read right away unless you're somebody like Ben Carson. Because within less than 24 hours, Ben Carson said, yeah, well, you know, I had some misgivings about it, but now I support it. Really? When we think about how fast Ben Carson can read and the incredible insights that he can gain when he's reading at that speed, I want you to take a look at this tour of his house that was put on the Daily Mail. It's inside Ben Carson's eccentric Maryland mansion, complete with a shrine to himself, and look at what he's got on the wall, engraved on the wall. I mean, of course, he's got a large shrine there with a lot of different pictures to himself, and then he has, in stark contrast, a Bible verse about humility. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And he puts that there in this engraved thing. Look at the reference to the Bible verse there. Proverbs 22:4, not Proverbs. And this is something that is engraved on his wall, and he hasn't seen the missing R. But, of course, he wants us to believe that in one night he read something that is three times the entire Bible, and he understands it, and he caught all the details when he's got something on his wall that is completely misspelled. I wonder if he becomes president if he will spell it with an R. Maybe he'll drop the P and simply be a resident. This is a guy who is posing as the ultimate outsider. And most people are buying this. And yet he is the ultimate insider. Look at this article from Politico when he was asked about what he would do at the Fed. And of course, this presumption is you're never going to get rid of the Fed. And he doesn't have any problem with the Fed itself. And he doesn't have any problem with Janet Yellen, the chairman of the Fed, because he and Janet go back. They go back to Yale. He says, Janet Yellen is a wonderful person. I've known her for many years. And they point out in the article that Yellen and Carson are both Yale alumni. Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. This guy is not an outsider. He is an insider. He's got connections to the most powerful people in the country, people who run the Fed. Just like Herman Cain had been involved with the Fed, they pick people that look good, that sound good, and they present them as outsiders, but they really are insiders. And that's why Ben Carson has no problem with war. He wants to have war everywhere. He wants to up the ante with Putin, and he wants to have these trade treaties. He's offering himself for sale, and he is for sale. He is for sale to the establishment. Now, the other part of this, of course, is the Pope is making a moral case for a climate change treaty. And this looks like this is very imminent, coming at us strongly. But as I pointed out just a couple of weeks ago, massive scandals and books talking about money laundering, manipulating of markets. This is from the Pope, who is pushing a new plan for world government, a indulgence, if you will, for having to use energy. But he's saying that he's doing this as a moral case. While you have this massive corruption in the Vatican Bank, and now we find out that Vatican properties are operating as brothels and massage parlors for the priests. This is another leak from the Vatican. And guess what the name of the organization within the Vatican, the bureaucracy, that owns these buildings? It's the Congregation for the Propagation of the Faith, owns these brothels. Absolutely astounding. And yet, they continue every time there's corruption that comes out. They always portray this as, well, this Pope wants to reform this. So he's in this fight with all the bad guys in the Vatican. Is that really true? He's been there nearly 3 years, and he hasn't done a single thing to stop this, to stop the pedophile abuse, to arrest, or even to depose any priests. We have corruption in the Vatican. This stuff is just being leaked, but he's not doing anything about it. Nevertheless, Al Gore is very optimistic that they are going to ram through a global governance treaty. That's what's being proposed in Paris. They say a twist for the Paris climate talks. Al Gore now is an optimist. After decades of raising the alarms about global warming, Al Gore is sure that this time is going to be different. He says, I'm optimistic. We're going to win this. We need to win it faster because a lot of damage is being done day by day. Well, you know what? The Pope fought Copernicus because Copernicus said that the universe rotated around the earth, a geocentric view of the universe, because that was a man-centered view of the universe. And now what they're selling us is a man-centered view of the climate. And really, the sun is really the center of our climate. It affects us more than anything. Look at this article from The Nation. Cold sun is rising. The sun will go into hibernation mode around 2030. It's already started to get sleepy. A Royal Astronomical Society meeting, Professor Valentina Zarkova confirmed it. Other scientists have suggested years ago the change was imminent, but Zarkova's model is said to be near perfect accuracy. And it's going to be worse than just less heat. It's actually going to cool the planet off in a number of other ways. Now, when we come back, we're going to have questions about how the government really helps the veterans. And we're going to have some personal remembrances from Joe Biggs. What does it mean to him to be a veteran? We'll be right back.
Drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new groundbreaking gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. easy assembly, low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139. The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com. Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Most forms of vitamin B12 are highly processed and synthetic and cannot be properly absorbed by the body. That's why for real results, so many are having to turn to painful B12 injections, which are known to have higher absorption rates. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12, methylcobalamin, the same kind used in B12 injections, and adenosyl cobalamin. Secret 12 is simply taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Discover the secret. Secret 12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
So how does our government treat vets, people who have put their life on the line to put forward the government's foreign policy to fight their wars? If they can make it past the wait list, many of them are getting dangerous and ineffective prescription drugs. What happens to the people who self-medicate with something that is more effective? The story from Mint Press talks about an Army vet who faces a felony for helping other veterans treat PTSD with cannabis. This is Sean Kiernan, a U.S. Army veteran from California, who, along with his wife, pled guilty earlier this year to felony charges related to growing marijuana for other veterans. He had attempted suicide in 2011. He was still struggling 2 years later. He was committed involuntarily by the VA. He says this was an experience that led him to embrace the benefits of cannabis over pharmaceutical drugs. And they point out that even in states that have legalized medical marijuana, veterans may not be able to access a drug without endangering their benefits. In addition, in July, a judge dropped charges against another vet, a Marine Corps vet, who had faced life in prison in Oklahoma for using cannabis to treat post-traumatic stress disorder. And Kiernan, who is now facing jail, says marijuana is illegal because it makes people rich. The war on drugs brings in billions every year to police and the prison industrial complex. And, of course, it feeds the fat cat politicians like Chris Christie, like Jeb Bush, like Marco Rubio, Hillary Clinton, Graham, all the rest of them, those who continue to push this insane prohibition war. But what does it do to the veterans? That's the real issue. Let's play a clip from today's radio show where Joe Biggs came on and talked about his personal experiences and what Veterans Day means to him.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there who are anti-war, and I can understand that. That's fine. You know, horrible wars that don't make a sense, you know, make any sense whatsoever. That's not good at all. But guess what? There's still men and women out there who believe like I did. Hey, I'm trying to do something for my country. They're not out there for any bad reasons. They're not out there because, you know, they're trying to help further the globalist agenda, whatever you may think it is. No, there's people out there, men and women, who say, hey, I want to do something for America because I do think it's the greatest country. And, you know, simply saying thank you, that's nice and all, but it kind of makes us feel awkward. Really, at the end of the day, you know what we care about? Hey, man, how you doing? How do you feel, man? Because you know what? 90% of those injuries you do get overseas, they're not external. You can't see them. They're not the missing limbs, legs, scars, burn marks, all that stuff. They're internal. It's that deep depression you get through every day. It's the suicidal thoughts. It's all of that. The massive drinking. I mean, when you see someone like that, go up and say, hey, man, are you all right? Do you need anything? I'm here for you. You know, because a lot of times people forget about those guys. And it's not that they need to be thanked. They just want to be remembered a little bit and to feel like people out there care about them. Not because they need that extra attention, but because when you go through that experience, as they're showing combat pictures I've been through, this and that, things I've survived, you go through things to where you don't think that you can ever assimilate. You don't ever think you're going to be able to fit into civilian life again.
Right.
You know, it's hard to find a woman who actually can understand what it is I'm going through with my mood swings. Hey, guess what? It's going to happen. There's some days I feel fine. There's a day that I wake up and I just don't want to exist. I don't know why that happens, but that is a reaction of what I've been through. You know, I'll never forget this one certain day. I was in El Paso, Texas. I was driving eastbound on Zaragoza towards my new house that I just moved in with my buddy. And I'd stopped at a couple bars and just had like a drink here and there. And I've just felt alone. All of a sudden, I felt like I was in this bubble by myself, but I was surrounded by women, people everywhere. Anybody would have had a great time, but for some reason, I just felt like I was all alone and had nothing to do. And I jumped in my car and I started screaming and crying and I started punching my steering wheel and my horn's going off in the parking lot and I'm just hitting everything I can. I've still got fist marks on my car where I was just screaming and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know why this was happening. And then I started getting so frustrated and angry that I was, why was I this angry? What is going on?
Mm-hmm.
And I ran home and I took every freaking Ambien that I had because I'd had enough. And I took a whole bottle of Ambien, chucked a whole bottle of tequila and walked out into the desert because the lining of houses at that point in time, everything in our backyard was a desert. There was nothing out there. It hadn't been developed yet. So I went out there and I was like, you know, I'm just ready to go. I can't take this anymore. I'm just sick and tired of going through this stuff all the time. And this girl that I know, Becky from South Carolina, up and calls my phone out of nowhere and says, hey, I had this bad feeling. Are you okay? And I just broke down again. And next thing you know, she called the fire department. They came and got me, took me to the hospital. And, you know, everyone's from my unit like, hey, are you okay? And I'm like, oh, I'm fine. It's just a misunderstanding. And I played it off. I put my mask on. I said, oh, yeah, I didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. What are you guys talking about? I'm fine. I don't have PTSD. And right. I went home and I lied to everybody and said I was A-okay because I didn't know how to open up to anybody. Because when you do, automatically in the military, they say there's an open door policy, but there's not.
Right.
They say that you're crazy and that you can't handle anymore.
Yeah,
then they'll put you in some crappy unit where you're never going to go and do what you love to do again. And then you're going to hate your life even more.
Yeah.
I went home. I threw every single pill down the toilet. I said, screw this stuff. Screw all this crap. I'm never doing it again. Because I understood that I wasn't angry. I wasn't depressed. I didn't hate my life. It was these freaking pills that were doing this to me. It was the fact that the doctors didn't give one care about me whatsoever. And then I was like, you know what? I'm done. And that's why there are 22 people taking themselves a day. I've had two this year, two buddies, one guy who wore a mask just as well as I did. So I couldn't tell that he was depressed. I couldn't tell that he wanted to kill himself at all. And I go in one day to go hang out with him and he's not there.
Yeah.
You know, that's horrible.
Smart TV, meet your stupid consumer. Irvine, California-based Vizio is churning out Spy State televisions loaded with Vizio's smart interactivity program to its 10 million and counting customers. A default program that follows your viewing habits and spins a web of data connected to your smartphone and any other device linked to your IP address. ProPublica reports IP addresses can increasingly be linked to individuals. Data broker Experian, for instance, offers a data enrichment service that provides hundreds of attributes such as age, profession, and wealth indicators tied to a particular IP address. Vizio recently updated its privacy policy to say it has begun providing data about customers' viewing habits to companies that may combine this information with other information about devices associated with that IP address. The company does not promise to encrypt IP addresses before sharing them. Of course, there are laws against this very overreach of Big Brother. U.S. Code Title 47, Chapter 5, Protection of Subscriber Privacy, and U.S. Code Title 18, Chapter 121, wrongful disclosure of videotape rental or sale records, not to mention the Video Privacy Protection Act. But Vizio arrogantly declares those laws don't apply to them. Vizio vaguely claims IP addresses contain data rather than a person's identity. But that is the very nature of this surveillance beast. An IP address identification system increasingly used to build a profile of a person according to their viewing habits is a system already regarded as a breach of individual privacy in Europe. But Vizio reaffirms that the rat in a cage technology is all in the name of advertising. According to Vizio, the company's data mining programs are part of a revolutionary shift across all screens that brings measurability, relevancy, and personalization to the consumer like never before. Again, personalization. The surveillance state is tracking us in our homes.
All of the new washing machines, dryers, computers, iPhones have cameras that are two-way, have audio that's two-way, and they admit they're tracking you. And there is a report out of Wired Magazine with public statements by Petraeus, now the head of the CIA, that they are watching everybody through their appliances without warrants, and they'll do whatever they want. And you're not a suspect, you're a person of interest. What, because we expose that you run Al-Qaeda? You mean stuff like that? So these people are just going into a new phase of flaunting it all in our face.
Spying on us through our cable boxes and televisions, monitoring and determining our energy usage, the surveillance state is so completely out of control in its widespread violation of our Fourth Amendment rights. Billion-dollar surveillance blimps are having to be shotgunned out of the sky by law enforcement. Vizio is playing with fire. All it's going to take is one of their 10 million customers' identities to be positively profiled, and the first domino will fall.
There is a signal broadcast every second of every day through our television sets. Even when the set is turned off,
our impulses are being redirected. We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. They have created a repressive society, and we are their unwitting accomplices.
John Bound for InfoWars.com.
Dr. Group joins us for the balance of this hour to talk about solutions. We have them up every couple weeks. We have been trying to launch this for the last year. We got all of the organic ingredients to do it, and we've come up with a new Living Defense Harmful Organism Cleansing Dietary Supplement, and it is extremely affordable. It is brimming with the capsules, and the way I read the facts, this could do a cleanse for really a family of four or five people. Dr. Group, let's just get into the product now and then into parasites themselves, what folks really want to hear about in the next segment. But thank you for developing this for InfoWarsLife.com. Tell us about Living Defense and why it's so special.
Well, it's really special because it's part of the problem that we're dealing with today. When the earth becomes sick and the earth soils become acidic and the internal bodies become acidic because of all the toxic food in the air and the beverages that people are consuming, it sets up an environment that's ripe for harmful organisms to live, either on the earth, that's why a lot of the plants are infested with harmful organisms, or inside the body. And years ago, we linked every single disease process to an overgrowth of organisms in the body. And when people hear the word parasite, which the FDA does not like us to use, they actually came down on us and made us take the word parasite off everywhere because we were exposing what the globalists have been doing, spreading these parasites and creating this environment, which is great for them to live in for years and years and years, because they know they drain us of energy, they make us sick. So we had to actually change the word parasite to harmful organism. And when we talk about harmful organisms, it's the definition, actually, the medical definition of parasite is any harmful organism that lives off of a host mechanism. Most people just think parasites are worms, but harmful organisms are bacteria, viruses that you can get through flu shots, funguses, yeast. We literally have an epidemic going on right now with molds and fungus and yeast living in everybody's body.
This is something that I heard about over a decade ago. I didn't really believe. I did one of these cleanses or invasive organism or harmful organism cleanses. It really hurt a lot, but it did do a lot. With this was not painful like some other cleanses I've done. The product is available at InfoWarsLife.com. I've always read and heard that just one of the ingredients, black walnuts, is really good at flushing parasites, and that, you know, animals out in the fields eat them and stuff to naturally do this. We do cleanses on our dogs, our cats, our horses, our cows. Why not us?
Well, because they don't want you to know about that you need to do a parasite or a harmful organism cleanse. That's the thing. It's so secretive. And when we were doing our research into the root cause of every single disease, there's been plenty of proof.
The statistics are clear. 9 out of 10 people are infested with harmful organisms like parasites. Parasites can be transmitted by people, pets, food, and the environment, and so many other sources. Once parasites have made it inside your body, they steal your nutrients and release toxic waste. They use the bathroom inside of you. It's time to start eliminating toxic and harmful organisms from your body. Introducing Living Defense, the new harmful organism cleanser by InfoWarsLife.com. Living Defense uses wildcrafted organic herbs to help naturally cleanse harmful organisms from the body. We are expected to sell out of this very, very quickly. This is our limited first-time run. So visit InfoWarsLife.com today to try Living Defense today while supplies last. That's why they're desperately trying to accelerate things into sexist war, regional war, race war, just every form of divide and conquer, balkanization you can imagine. And Kit Daniels will be reporting first, then Jakari Jackson, from the head campus of the four-campus system there at the State College in Missouri. PC police now, after getting the chancellor and the president to resign, who were both liberals themselves for no reason, now want Thomas Jefferson taken down as racist and sexist. Melissa Click, the professor running around commanding the anti-free speech forces that was heading up large areas of the media department, now ran another disinfo op claiming she's resigned. That's from her unpaid commissar position over the media area, not as a professor blood-sucking off the state, in my opinion, as well. The viral video of her. Turns out the Mizzou hunger strike commanders tied in with George Soros and, of course, Berkshire Hathaway's commander, who runs around running eugenics operations. They're all involved. His dad makes $8 million a year heading up one of the largest railroads in the country. And Warren Buffett couldn't be happier. So this is all just completely staged, as it always ends up turning out to be. So that's just some of the news on that front. Joining us is Kit Daniels. He and Jakari have filed a bunch of very informative reports up on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. So, Kit, you've been there since yesterday afternoon. What is your view on what's happened? What can you report to people?
Well, right now we're in the middle of a University of Missouri campus in front of the Thomas Jefferson statue. Now, this statue is the smoking gun of the whole situation up here in Missouri that you've all been reading the headlines past couple of days. On October 22nd, I wrote an article on InfoWars.com about how some of the student groups like Black Lives Matter and whatnot were claiming that this statue was racist and sexist and needed to be removed. A couple of weeks later, the same student groups were the ones that ousted the president and ousted the chancellor as well. So, you know, it really shows you how out of proportion everything has been and how exploited the situation has been. I mean, I'm sure there's some racist issues that are going on campus, no doubt about that. You know, there's here and there. But this is what I like to call fandom racism, in which you have a situation that's blown completely out of proportion in order to exploit it and push a ultimate higher agenda. I mean, for example, it's just like the kind of feminist movements where they're claiming that, you know, all men are rapists and there's rapists on every corner. It's just like here on campus where there's claiming that everyone's a racist and there's the Ku Klux Klan member on every corner. We actually had an African-American gentleman that stopped us on campus you know, concerned. He was like, is the KKK really out here on campus? They're like, no, it's just been misinformation. That's what we also see.
Well, who cares who they are? Go laugh at them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I told Jakari. I was like, when we were in the hotel getting away to come here this morning, I was like, even if the Klan was here, we'd go and protest that she'd report. Half of them are federal agents anyway.
Well, it's just ridiculous. Like, somebody might be wearing a Halloween costume that scares me. Remove it immediately at Yale. It's just, it's a witch trial. Meanwhile, we're all having our rights taken. We're all being targeted by the globalists. That's why they're doing this, Kit.
Yeah, and it's like, I had an incident with the TSA coming up here while I was detained for a long time. I missed my flight, but, you know, funny enough, the flight.
Yeah, describe that. You shot a video on that, but just to show you where this country is, the Jakari and the camera man went on ahead of you. You weren't able to. Describe what happened.
Yeah, I had the TSA that stopped me. They swabbed my fingers. They ran me through the machine a couple times. Just patted me down, had me sit for 15, 20 minutes. And what's ironic was I was looking outside the terminal, and there's like a State of Kuwait plane. And I was telling Jakari later, I was like, you know, they're not doing the same thing to them as they are to me. Just like how the State Department was allowing the Muslim Brotherhood into the country, giving them port courtesy, telling the TSA, hey, don't bother these guys. Just let them pass through. It's all security theater to exploit our fears and to make us give up our rights. The same thing here in University of Missouri about the political correctness. Political correctness is used to exploit our fear of being social outcasts by, like, saying that, oh, we're going
to keep us in junior high. I mean, when I was 11, I thought people didn't like me. I was a little bit depressed. Most kids are. I was going through social stuff. Kids saying mean things would hurt my feelings. But by about 13, I could care less. Most people still care in college what somebody says about them. They're trying to arrest development. They're trying to keep us little scared kids on their plantation. You're absolutely right. But specifically, your video's titled The TSA, What They're Not Telling You. What was their excuse for searching you and making you miss your flight?
It's probably because I'm not donating money to the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah, that would be a good thing.
Because I'm not. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
how did they detain you? What did they do to you?
Oh, they just had me. They ran on the swab thing over my fingers, had me run me through the machine a couple times, patted me down. It was like, I told them afterwards, my flight already took off by the time I was done with it.
So they just ran you for the ringer for fun and made you sit there. Yeah, I've had them do that to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think they did the same thing to Mike or cameraman, maybe not as severe, but.
Well, they got to be careful because ISIS, who our government created and funds and gave missiles to, is shooting down airplanes and blowing them up. So, you know, they've got to take our rights down to keep us safe from their bosses.
Yeah, yeah. And what people don't realize is the whole government is, I think it was the Cardinal Richelieu, I think that's how you pronounce his name, the 17th century French statesman, who proposed this idea of reasons of state, which unlike you, me and you, the state, the government, politicians, they don't concern themselves with ethics or morality. You know, they just see themselves as if the state achieves its aims. That's the ultimate goal. If it doesn't, then...
And it's Machiavelli. It's, but if you don't have any morals, then your aims aren't going to be good either.
Exactly. And the tyranny that results that I'm experiencing, everyone around here is experiencing, political correctness, that's all a direct result of this idea of reasons of state.
Well, and Kit, I've heard that... I've seen the video of them going after people, and they had to cancel classes because of the hysteria, and that they were promising to go after free speech rallies. Have you seen anything like that, or have you had any?
Let me tell you something funny about that. We went down to the Starbucks just down the road from here on campus. I was going to go in there and get one of them red politically correct coffee cups. She'd report on it and tie it into the whole University of Missouri political correctness. They shut Starbucks down because the employees were too scared to show up to work because of all the political correctness run amok. So I can't get my politically correct coffee from Starbucks because it got shut down by the PC police, literally.
So basically, the PC police are the end of civilization. It's just the shutdown of everything.
Yeah, it's like what we're seeing right now is like the end of the Roman Empire, the end of the Byzantine Empire. It's like this whole destruction of civilization where everybody is too scared to speak out and be human beings. They just want to be a sheep mentality and just wither in fear. And
that's right. Hope. Let me see the evil guy that this first Declaration of Independence would have ended slavery. Let's see Thomas Jefferson, a huge critic of slavery. And they mindlessly point out that he was born into a slave-owning family but then freed them.
Yeah, I want to point out something else about that because the whole Black Lives Matter movement and, you know, they're saying they're fighting against racism. But racism, like I said in a video I shot last night, racism is a collectivist concept. I mean, you're grouping people by race and stereotyping them. The only way
that's right, individualism would just do away with racism to begin with.
And this is a guy who fought for individualism.
It's Kara Jackson reporting from the University of Missouri. Yes, Alex, we've been out here for about a day or so. We came in late last night. Most of the protests and the other activities have subsided. As you can see out here, it's a pretty quiet day. We've had various threats, so some bogus threats at that. The KKK coming out here, a lot of people were scared. As Kit mentioned, we actually encountered somebody on campus who stopped and asked us. He said, hey, do you guys know anything about this? And as far as we know, it's just a cooked up threat.
By the way, if you're a radio listener, you got to see the feed, Jakari. It looks like The Last Man on Earth or I Am Legend. There's no one out there I can see in this beautiful, gorgeous campus. Looks cooler than the University of Texas or Harvard or something. Great place to just looking at. Looks wonderful. And there's no one there in fear of the stupid Klan.
Yeah, it's just a whole lot of things going on out here. So as we've been reporting, Mrs. Click, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, she was out here a couple days ago, stifling people's First Amendment rights, which is very interesting, being that she's a communications professor or appointment is, I think, the proper term they gave her. And as you were mentioning, she gave up her, I guess it's an appointee position, but there are other people concerned that she may still have a place here on campus. And of course, went to our office. She's not there, obviously. Just something she wants to lay low from. But we were talking to a group earlier today. What was it? The Young Americans for Liberty? Yeah, and they were telling us that if she does retain her position, they do have plans to try to start a petition to get her to resign, which is kind of interesting, you know, considering the whole thing is going on here. The football team wants the president resign. I believe the chancellor resigned as well.
Well, if the chancellor or president had come out and said, we banned the First Amendment, I'd call for him to step down. I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2.
I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there.
Take advantage of this at InfoWarsLife.com.
And why wearing a Hillary for President t-shirt might get you punched in the face?
They thought it said Hillary for President. He said, I was seconds away from sending my bar back over here to punch you in the face. Since you're wearing a Hillary for Prison shirt, you don't have to buy drinks here. Everything's on the house.
Hillary's not surging, I tell you that. They're not saying that. They're not saying that. Thank you.
Donald Trump endorses Hillary for Prison. Get your Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirt at the InfoWars store. And on the back, it says, legalize freedom. Show your disapproval of Hillary by buying your t-shirt today.
But what she's done is criminal.
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years.
I'd like to finish my response, basically. If I may respond,
this is an important question. This is an incredibly
important question. Kasich keeps trying to butt in.
The question goes to
Kasich talked about Ronald Reagan.
To be our commander in chief.
But wait, Ronald Reagan.
Chief who says something that we never did throughout the entire Cold War. To discontinue having conversations with the Russians. I'm not happy about them flying over there, but I'm not naive enough to say, well, Iraq has them flying over their airspace. We're just going to announce that we're shooting them down. That is naive to the point of being something you might hear in junior high, but it's scary.
But if you're not going to respond in a no-fly zone strategy, what would yours be?
The first thing I would do is I wouldn't arm our enemies. I wouldn't arm ISIS.
Yes.
Most of the people who want the no-fly zone also favored arming the allies of Al-Qaeda, which became ISIS. That was the dumbest, most foolhardy notion, and most of the people up here supported it. They
Hillary Clinton admitted that they created them.
Some of them still do.
Yes.
That's how ISIS grew. We pushed back
Assad. And a no-fly zone is to make us the air force of Al-Qaeda, as he's pointed out.
The first thing you do is don't arm your enemies.
Matter at all that the gap between the rich and everyone else is widening?
Absolutely, and I think that we ought to look where income inequality seems to be the worst. It seems to be worst in cities run by Democrats, governors of states run by Democrats, and countries currently run by Democrats. So the thing is, let's look for root causes. But I would also say, lay some blame at the feet of the Federal Reserve. I think the Federal Reserve has made this problem worse. By artificially keeping interest rates below the market rate, average ordinary citizens have a tough time earning interest, have a tough time making money. They're actually talking now about negative interest. The money as it's created through quantitative easing or other means tends to start out in the big banks in New York. And because we're now paying interest for them to keep the money there, much of that money has not filtered out into the economy.
We need to get back to sound money.
We had sound money and a working economy when we did not have a central bank, folks. So you don't need to have a central bank to stabilize the economy. That's the fundamental lie that Cruz is slipping under the door here when he says, I'm going to let them fail, but we need to have a central bank to have a role to play here. No, they don't. We don't need a central bank. Central banks are the root of the problem.
Getting ready to lose their life savings. You just don't say we believe in philosophical.
No, you have depositor insurance.
You know what an executive has.
And people know what that risk is. If they want to put more money into it than the FDIC insurance, then that's they're taking a risk. Just like they invest in the stock market. You don't have a guarantee that you're going to have your money there either. You're taking a risk. It's called risk.
Philosophy doesn't work when you run something. And I got to tell you.
They socialize the losses and privatize the profits is what they're talking about with bailouts. Let's understand that.
8 years, and almost 8 years now, it does not work. We need an executive who's been tried, has been tested, and judged the decisions that executive
Think about how much time he's gotten in the last two debates compared to Trump, for example. I mean, this guy is in single digits. Why is he even in this debate?
Right.
And he's
and they're letting him just take the time, and no one is interrupting.
This Lehman Brothers whore.
In the state of Ohio, we have grown 347,000.
Yeah, here we are again. Every governor, you take it. These are Republican governors. They don't give any credit to the free market. They don't give any credit to the entrepreneur. When I hear Governor Kasich and the rest of these guys saying how many jobs they created, you know what they're saying? They're saying the same thing Barack Obama said.
You didn't build that.
You didn't build that. I built it. That's what Kasich is saying right now. He is channeling Barack Obama saying, I created those jobs, not the people who put their lives and their money on the line to build a business. I created those jobs as governor. That's the most pathetic thing I can imagine is to hear this.
I will say that there are a lot of people who say if you get rid of the deductions, you ruin the American dream because, you know, home mortgage deduction. But the fact of the matter is people had homes before 1913 when we introduced the federal income tax.
Yeah, you know why they had homes, Ben? Because they could afford to buy homes instead of having to go into debt to the banks to get this because the banks and the government had impoverished us with the Federal Reserve System and the income tax. I wonder why you think, Ben, they passed those in the same year. Unbelievable.
Rand Paul just really, he's like, I can say anything on stage, just repeal the Federal Reserve.
I do care about the poor people, and in the system that we're putting together, there will be a rebate for people at the poverty level.
But did that sound genuine?
Let me talk about this a minute. When he talks about rates and he says a 10% flat rate, do you realize in the 1950s that the median family paid a 2% income tax rate? 2%? And now it's about 28%. Okay? And you know what? That is more than the average working mother makes. So we've put the mothers to work to help to pay the income tax bill. Let's just go back to where we were in the 1950s. That was a pretty good time. Let's cut the income tax down to just 2%. If you can't get yourself all the way down to zero, let's go down to 2%. But nobody is talking about anything that radical that we could have the standard of living that we had in the 1950s. No, no, no. We have to make sure that government is taken care of first, that the Federal Reserve is taken care of first, and then we can live on what's left over.
Right.
But as far as the Ukraine is concerned, and you could say Syria, as far as Syria, I like if Putin wants to go in, and I got to know him very well because we were both on 60 Minutes. We were stablemates, and we did very well that night. But you know that. But if Putin wants to go and knock the hell out of ISIS, I am all for it 100%, and I can't understand how anybody would be against
it. They're not doing
it. Exactly. Let them fight it for a change.
Wait a minute. They blew up a Russian airplane. He cannot be in love with these people. He's going in, and we can go in, and everybody should go in.
No, Jeff says, we can't attack ISIS. What are you talking about? That's our guys.
And a group of countries, including Germany.
Shaking his head.
When they're just talking about how we need to increase the military so we can fight ISIS. Not Russia.
Is it possible to continue this boom and move toward energy self-sufficiency while at the same time pursuing a meaningful climate change program?
Globalism.
The first thing I would do as president
he believes
is
in man-made
repeal
global
the regulations
climate
that are hampering our energy.
Wrong answer.
Yeah.
Thanks for playing.
Including the Clean Power Act. While I do think man may have a role in our climate, I think nature also has a role. The planet's 4.5 billion years old. We've been through geologic age after geologic age.
Something called the
sun. We've had
times
when the temperature's been warmer. We've had times when the temperature's been colder. We've had times when the carbon in the atmosphere
racist.
Has been higher.
Racist.
So I think before we need to look before we leap.
Oh, I need a trigger warning.
Right now. We need to go to
he wants a balanced solution. But really, we do need to balance both keeping the environment clean. We will have some rules for that. But we got to balance that with the economy. He's devastated my state. I say the president's not only destroying Kentucky, he's destroying the Democrat Party down there because nobody wants to associate with him. So what we really need is somebody that understands that we do need energy of all forms. And that means we will have solar and wind and hydro, but we will still have coal and we still
have
natural gas.
And we won't destroy the families who are making themselves self-sustainable and then suing them and telling them that they have to get back on the grid or taxing them because their cars are too efficient. Like they pushed everyone toward this green agenda and then they were like, whoa, that's working too well.
We shouldn't do it. And what we should do is
back.
We want all of the above. We want to free up the energy sector and let people produce, let them drill, let them explore.
Very quickly.
We have to make our military bigger, better, stronger than ever before so that nobody messes with us. And in the long run, it's going to save us. I agree with Marco. I agree with
Ted. I'm
pretty
sure our military is already bigger.
Because when you outspend all militaries combined, you still get attacked because you have to fund enemies and create them
that
didn't exist before.
No, Rob, our military is going to be huge, huge.
Well, in order to...
We got tons of jets. We got tons of tanks. We go over to Iraq and Afghanistan. We have graveyards full of equipment, tanks, Humvees, MRAPs, ASVs. I could go on all day with these different acronyms that most of you won't even understand. We've got tons of stuff. We don't need a bigger, better, stronger military. We already have the best one out there. What we need is someone who's running our country that actually knows how to use it the right way and not be an idiot.
Well, it's not that. It's the military-industrial complex. They want more weapons, and obviously they're now selling weapons, so everything going on with Iran and all these other states, now they're billion-dollar contracts and weapons, and that, so they have to keep it going. They have to keep the chaos going in order to continue selling these weapons and... It's ridiculous.
I gotta say, Trump, you were a loser on that.
Yeah.
We're already spending more than the rest of the world combined on our military.
More than half of our budget.
Exactly. Exactly. And more than the rest of the world combined.
The only place it's not going to are the soldiers who are actually over there fighting and dying. You don't
get it.
Right.
It's
certainly not going to.
Well, that's it for tonight's news. If you want to support our operation, please become a member at Prison Planet TV. Well, that's it for tonight. Join us tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern for the nightly news.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligrams, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA,
So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.